Track 9. More news stories. Link Road finally opens, easing traffic woes. Residents in Dawlish, whose lives have been blighted for a decade by construction traffic, are to be relieved of the hundreds of vehicle movements with the opening of a new Link Road. The road was officially opened in March, but construction vehicles are only now finally able to access the road to reach building sites. The Link Road was promised 10 years ago when expansion to the northeast of Dawlish began. But after years of campaigning, the road is now open to construction lorries. Councillor Rosie Dawson confirmed construction traffic heading for Bloor Homes, Taylor Wimpey or MJL sites in the Gatehouse area will have to use the access on the new Link Road. This will not yet be open to the general public as there are a couple of houses being built right by the access. The multi-million pound road is to access land for housing on the outskirts of Dawlish and ease congestion in the town along the A379. Since the recent road closure of Elm Grove Road by South West Water as part of its million pound project to improve water quality in Dawlish, the situation has been even worse as the lorries have been forced into other neighbouring residential streets. Councillor Dawson has been in touch with site managers and will be keeping watch to ensure use of the Link Road is enforced. It connects the A379 by Sainsbury's to more than 400 new homes at Seckmayton Farm and Swan Park, and providing access to approximately 400 new homes at Gatehouse Farm. Eventually it will be open to the public and bus services to ease congestion in other parts of the town and along the main A30 road. The 26-metre bridge, 110 metres of carriageway on an embankment, includes footways and a cycleway, and a further 360 metres of carriageway. In March, a bridge was officially opened, named Sweet Violet's Bridge, to commemorate the town's historic violet industry.
Moortown's Carnival celebrates 100 years. Moorton Hempstead Carnival is being remembered over the last 100 years in a new exhibition. Presented by Greenhill Arts, 100 Carnivals, One Community, an exhibition, is a vibrant celebration of Moorton Hempstead Carnival as it marks its 100th event. It takes place on August the 28th. A spokesman said, "The Carnival Committee are doing their best to mark this big occasion in our carnival's history, and we will be hoping to have lots going on. The Grand Procession will take place at the usual time as 6:30 p.m. and judging beforehand, we would love to make this year the best one yet." Running until August the 30th, the exhibition honours the rich tradition of carnival in our town and the creativity it continues to inspire. On display will be a colourful mix of carnival props and costumes from across the decades, alongside photographs capturing the joy and atmosphere of past celebrations. A spokesman for the exhibition organiser says, "As we mark this milestone, the 100th Moorton Hempstead Carnival, the exhibition reflects on the shared experiences that have shaped our community over the decades. We invite everyone to come and celebrate the tradition that brings us together year after year."
Navy drops in on RNLI training. It was all action on Tynmouth Seafront when bystanders were treated to the sight of a Royal Navy helicopter working with the volunteer crew of Tynmouth Royal National Lifeboat Institute, the RNLI, on Wednesday, August the 13th. The joint exercise saw a Royal Naval Air Service Merlin helicopter from Yeovilton working with the volunteer Tynmouth lifeboat crew to winch a casualty to safety. "These joint exercises keep our volunteer lifesavers ready to work together in real rescues where every second counts," a spokesman from the RNLI said. "Huge thanks to the Yeovilton crew for their skill, teamwork and some spectacular flying. It has been a busy few weeks for the volunteer Tynmouth lifeboat crew, who have been practicing and showing off their skills in demonstrations at recent carnivals and regattas."
How Exeter plans to lead a brave new Devon. Exeter has been urged to be brave and go ahead with bold plans to go it alone in the massive nationwide local government shake-up. Members of the City Council were almost unanimous, just one councillor abstained, in backing a proposal for Exeter to become a standalone unitary council, absorbing 49 other Devon communities in the process. Councillors heard that the 49, comprising 28 in East Devon, 15 in Tinbridge and 6 in Mid Devon, are parishes that naturally look to Exeter for work and leisure. I believe that Exeter has a responsibility to lead, said City Council leader Phil Bialak. Not to demand, not to dictate, but to lead with clarity, humility and deep respect for the communities around us. We need to find the best possible option for all of Devon. The City Council's strategy would boost its population to more than 250,000, fitting the government's criteria for one of its unitary authorities. But other councils around Devon continue to come up with other plans. The existing district authorities all favour a 1-5-4 model, in which Plymouth stands alone and the rest split to create two larger councils. Under that option, the five council section would include Exeter, East Devon, Mid Devon, Torridge and North Devon. The four council section would be Torbay, Tinbridge, South Hams and West Devon. But Torbay says it wants to go alone, and one Torbay councillor described Exeter's recent decision to pursue a unitary future as a huge rock thrown into the pool. If Exeter's proposal for it and Plymouth's to be two unitary councils, with the rest of Devon forming another, Torbay would be part of a giant coast-to-coast council stretching from the southernmost tip of the South Hams to the most northerly part of North Devon and taking in Somerset, Dorset and Cornwall boundaries. A report to the City Council said Exeter's strategy reflects its position as a major urban hub with strength in housing growth, knowledge economy, innovation, education, climate science and transport connectivity. Councillor Williams of Whipton said other options favoured by other councils were a back-of-the-fag packet effort. How can they think that clumping five districts and four districts together is going to work for those residents? No thought seems to have been put into it at all. A period of 6 weeks of intense public engagement starts now. All councils have been asked to consider their options before a deadline of November the 28th, when their preference must be submitted to the government. Ministers will then make a final decision, and the new councils will take control in May 2028. Elections to the new councils will be held in May 2027, with councillors acting in a shadow role leading up to the final switch a year later.
Slimmers taking part in Race for Life for charity. Slimming World members from Tinbridge recently took part in Race for Life to raise money for charity. There are more than 400 events taking place across the UK this year between the May the 3rd and July the 27th, with 3K, 5K and 10K and pretty muddy events available. Money raised through Race for Life events helps fund cancer research. It's world-class research in over 200 types of cancer. And slimmers across Tinbridge were among this year's participants opting to take part in the pretty muddy obstacle course. Slimming World consultant Julie Scoynes, who runs the Newton Abbott Group, said there were 20 members who took part, all became more active after losing weight with Slimming World and were wanting to make a difference to a fabulous charity.